Wednesday evenings, there are a lot of things going on that we hear about in the world around us. Some of those things are in the political realm, if you would. But as we're dealing with these issues, we have to be aware that we are not dealing, this is not about politics. This is about truth and the Word of God.
Amen.
This is where we need to find answers that really the church is not political, but we stand upon morality, upon the truth of God's Word.
And when there are things that are being promoted in the political realm that go against what God's Word teaches, then we have to speak on those things. We dealt with the subject of abortion last Wednesday, and this evening we're going to deal with another subject, and we'll see that in 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 6. Notice if we begin reading in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's pretty clear, isn't it? There's no beating around the bush. It's straight to the point. But notice what he continues by saying in verse 11. "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now we find here a list of sins. And those are, some of them are in the same family. They deal with a certain aspect of sin. And I want you to notice the expressions we find at the beginning of the list. He says, fornicators. That's a relationship outside of marriage. Idolaters, adulterers, that's having relations with someone when you're not married, to someone you're not married to, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And that is referring to those who behave, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, and we know those sins. And I want to do my best to use what the language that the Bible uses this evening. But I would like to begin this message with a declaration of what the church is to be in this world. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What is the church today? The church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. The great ingredient that is missing in churches today is the truth. That's what's missing today. Many churches will hold as their motto the word grace. Do they not? They claim to be accepting of all. They claim to show love for all people. However, the Bible declares that Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. This message today is about this. It is about speaking the truth. And while we're speaking the truth, it is about wrapping this truth in grace. You see, if a person today does not speak the truth, then they do not truly love their neighbor. The truth is what will set someone free. That is the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This evening we're dealing with the subject, and I'll give you the title, and then we'll go on in explaining that. The title is this: Sodomy, an unnatural and vile affection. Sodomy, an unnatural and vile affection. In 1828, in the 1828 Webster Dictionary, the dictionary defines sodomy as this: a crime against nature. Now, the definition today has changed. But that was the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And by the way, that's the dictionary I like to use. The term sodomy is descriptive of the moral perversion that was associated with the city of Sodom. We find this expression throughout the Word of God. The term is sodomy. In Job chapter 36, verse 14, the same word is translated, they die in youth and their life is among the unclean. And so you find that word translated sodomy or unclean or uncleanness. Today, and when we think about this sin and the agenda that is being promoted today, this agenda is not a private one. It is a behavior that is being imposed upon society. That is what's going on today. It is not about giving people more freedom. It is about a behavior, a lifestyle that is being imposed upon society. Let me give you the evidence for that. In June of 2004, a Pentecostal pastor in Sweden became the first pastor in the European Union to be charged under hate crimes. He was convicted for denouncing the sin of sodomy as abnormal, something sick, and a deep cancerous tumor in the body of society. And as a result, he was sentenced to 1 month in jail. The conviction, by the way, was overturned by an appeals court. In January of 2006, a Catholic city councilman, John DeChico, in British Columbia, Canada, was fined $1,000 and required to apologize for saying that sodomy is not normal or natural. In his remarks, which were made in the city council meeting, DeChico was expressing the official doctrine of his church. The fine ended up going to two sodomites activists who brought the complaint. DeChico was also forced to issue a public statement that his comments were inappropriate and hurtful to some. DeChico told LifeSite News, I'm not against lesbians and gay people, but I don't agree that I should have to endorse it. You see, what's being promoted today is not just the fact of, well, let us live. No, the agenda being promoted today is let's force people to accept it and to publicly declare and affirm it. And so that's what's going on today. I was reading an article put out by thewayoflife.org by David Cloud, and he listed, and this is a long, lengthy page, but he listed the rights that would be lost if sodomites have their way today. And in the list, and this is all documented, and he lists on all those pages things that are happening today. And this is the list he came up with. He says, when sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to say anything that might appear biased against them. Later he mentions, and by the way, he lists 5 pages or 6 or 7 pages of things that are going on up to the year 2018. He says, when sodomites gain their rights, a Bible-believing Christian will not be able to work in the field of counseling. And by the way, that happened in the state of Delaware. Do you know that conversion therapy now is illegal and it is considered abuse? And if someone comes to me today and says, well, I'm a sodomite, but I would like to not be one, if I try to convert that person, then I would be fine and go to jail. He goes on and says, when sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to conduct ministries to help sodomites leave that lifestyle. And that's going on right now in Delaware. He goes on to say, when sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to use the term father, mother, husband, wife, boy, girl. And that's going on right now. Things are being relisted under new classifications in many states today. He says, when sodomites gain their rights, we won't be able to refuse to serve sodomites in business. And I believe that will apply one day to the church as well. When sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to turn down a sodomite for a job. When sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to enforce public laws that have to do with decency. When homosexuals gain their rights, you won't be able to tell the truth about the moral degradation of sodomites. When sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to have a woman-only public restroom. And that is happening today in our public school system. When sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to refuse to place children with sodomite couples. When sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to stop sodomites from having a public indecency. When sodomites gain their rights, you won't be able to recommend books that criticize sodomites. And he goes on and on. And by the way, this is not about giving rights to people. It is about taking away the rights of other people to believe what the Word of God teaches. The alarming truth, though, that in many so-called Christian leaders today is that they're embracing this sinful behavior and lifestyle. David Cloud, in his book, What is the Emerging Church, documents what some prominent leaders in this movement have said about this grievous sin. In December 26th, McLaren spoke of at the Open Door Community Church in Sherwood, Arkansas. The church's website says this: the leadership at Open Door Community Churches are excited to see gay and non-gay Christians worshiping together as one. We believe that gay and non-gay Christians can and should come to the table of the Lord together, side by side. In September 2012, McLaren's son Trevor married Owen Ryan in the civil ceremony led by Brian at the Wooden Sanctuary. Even certain denominations today have voted to allow two men to marry in their churches. The Episcopal Church has even ordained and promoted sodomites in their clergy. The entire church denomination has been founded, upon this sin of sodomy. The Metropolitan Community Churches started, and by the way, there's two in Philadelphia, one in Baltimore, and one in D.C. They've been started all over the world. The founder was Troy Perry. The church teaches that homosexuality is a gift from God and that Jesus was not hostile, that Sodom was destroyed for a lack of hospitality. That's what they say. On their website, they write this: MCC was the first to perform same-gender marriage and has been on the forefront of the struggle towards marriage equality in the U.S. and other countries worldwide. In their introduction on their website, they write this: in 1968, a year before New York's Stonewall riots, a series of most unlikely events in South Carolina resulted in the birth of the world's first church group with a primary positive ministry to gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender persons. Those events, a failed relationship and an attempted suicide, a reconnection with God, and an unexpected prophecy, and the birth of a dream, led to MCC's first worship service, a gathering of 12 people with Reverend Troy Perry living room in Huntington Park, California, on October 6, 1968. The first worship service in Los Angeles suburb in 1968 launched the international movement of Metropolitan Community Churches, which today has grown to 43,000 members and adherents in almost 300 congregations in 22 countries. During the past 36 years, MCC's prophetic witness has forever changed the face of Christianity and helped to fuel the international struggle for the LGBT rights and equality. Think about it. A whole denomination has been founded upon the deviant behavior. According to the CDC National Intimate Partner Survey, 44% of women have been raped or experienced physical abuse by their intimate partners, and that's talking about in a relationship as such. Major denominations today affirm the sin of sodomy. The Quakers, for example, they say that that homosexuality is no more deplorable than left-handedness. The Episcopal Church has led the parade in affirming the evil behavior. Liberal theologians have suggested even that Paul himself was a homosexual. We're not dealing here with politics. We're dealing with iniquity. We must recognize sin for what it is. You will either warn them or you will affirm them. The question is this for us: which one is showing love? The one, I believe, who warns someone of their sin. I want to deal with this subject this evening as we think of this subject, sodomy, an unnatural and vile affection. First of all, I want us to consider the condemnation of God. There is many people today who say that the Bible doesn't condemn such behavior. Can I say this, that today what is being promoted and what is being talked about, sodomite marriage today, is impossible. It is really an oxymoron, because it doesn't work. A man cannot have a baby, despite what people say. What God punishes is being exalted today. In Genesis chapter 19, which we've been studying on Sunday mornings, is the first recorded widespread behavior of sodomy. This is where the sin finds its origin in Sodom. And the word, by the way, that is used after that in sodomy, which is the sin of homosexuality. Now, from that time forward in the Bible, this sin is known as the sin of sodomy. Now, I want to deal here and see what the Word of God says. And so let's look to the Word of God and see what the Bible declares concerning this sin. First of all, we understand that this sin of sodomy defies the Lord. The sin of sodomy defies the Lord. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says this, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defy thyself therewith." And so notice the Bible puts in the same classification a man lying with a man as a man lying with a beast. It is unnatural. It is not right. Deuteronomy 23 verse 17 declares, "There shall no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24, the Bible says, "And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which were the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible says, "If a man lie with a mankind, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." And so, the rule that was given to the nation under the rule of God in Israel was found that any sodomite was to be put to death. It was a crime. Just, by the way, as the crime of adultery would be punishable by death. So we see, first of all, that the sin of sodomy defies the Lord, but secondly, the sin of sodomy defiles a land. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 18:24, "Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all of these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled." Now, that's following up what he describes as the sin of sodomy. "Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." So the Bible says that such behavior, such a lifestyle, it defiles a land. 1 Kings 15:12, the Bible says, "And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols from their fathers that their fathers had made." 1 Kings 22:46, the Bible says, "And the remnant of the sodomites which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." And so we find, even in Israel, the sin had crept in under evil kings who were idolaters, but then when good kings came, they removed the sodomites from the land. You see why? Because such behavior and lifestyle defiles a land. We also find, thirdly, that the sin of sodomy brings damnation. Jude, verse number 7 says this, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." And so the Bible gives us an example in Genesis chapter 19 of a whole two cities who were brought to damnation because of the sin of sodomy. We also find that the sin of sodomy is depraved behavior. Romans chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." So the Bible talks about leaving the natural use and coming into something that is not natural. You see, it is depraved behavior. We also see the Bible declares that the sin of sodomy is doctrinal heresy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 says this, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there been any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." You see, such behavior is doctrinal heresy. And so the question we have ourselves as we look to the Word of God and find the answers and find what God declares about such behavior and such lifestyle, we know and we understand that God condemns that behavior. And by the way, just as He condemns all other behaviors. such as adultery and fornication and thievery and lying, and all those things fall under the condemnation of God. And I believe we've done a great disservice. I was talking to my wife on the way. I thought, you know, we approach those subjects as if, you know, we with timidity. But the fact is, we ought to approach the sin as all other sins. When other people commit such sins, we don't call them, wow, well, you're a thief because they stole once. We don't label that and give that label to that person and say, that's just the way you are. We don't do that with liars. We don't do that with adulterers. We don't call someone who's committed adultery once and say, you're an adulterer for the rest of your life. We don't call them that because that was their propensity. We never say that. But somehow we attach that to the sin of sodomy. So we see the condemnation of God. But number two, the question is this. How does a society get to this place of promoting this wicked behavior? Well, secondly, we see this, the condition of humanity. I want us to go to Romans chapter 1, if you would please. In Romans chapter number 1, we have a perfect explanation of what takes place in humanity for such behavior to be at the forefront. Notice Romans chapter number 1. If you notice verse number 18, I want us to look through this passage and see a progression, if you would. How does such behavior, how does humanity stoop down to such behavior? Well, consider their idolatry. It begins with idolatry. You say, what is idolatry? Idolatry is you creating a false god. A god that is not real. And you hear that all the time, by the way, right? Some people say, well, this is just not the god that I believe in. That's idolatry. You've created your own God, not the God of the Bible that's revealed Himself. And so notice verse 18, the Bible says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all uncleanness and unrighteousness, notice, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's where it begins. When we think about that behavior and we think about the sodomites, where does it begin? It is rooted in people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but they refuse to admit the truth. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice verse point number 21. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. You see here, this is where it begins. Idolatry. They know God, but they don't recognize Him as God. And that's the language today, right? That's just not the kind of God that I believe in. I believe in a God of love. And so, that's the God that I choose. Then you've just committed idolatry. You've created a false God. Notice verse 23. The Bible says, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You see, they changed the image of who God is, who is incorruptible, who is unchangeable. And they've changed that and made it into a lie. And they've corrupted the God of the Bible. Verse 24 says, wherefore, God gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, notice, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You see, they changed the truth, or verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's where it begins. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And what God says is not acceptable, they say God says is acceptable. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Notice verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, do you see that? The Bible declares who God is. It reveals to us who God is. But they did not like to retain that God in their knowledge. They don't want to think about that kind of God. They don't want to think about how God is a God of justice and judgment and how He hates Him. They don't want to think about that. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And so you say, how does humanity get to this condition? It begins with idolatry. They know the truth. They change the truth. They do not accept the truth of God. They do not accept God for who He is and who He's revealed Himself to be. And that's idolatry. And by the way, you'll find throughout the Word of God, there's a pattern. The sin of sodomy is always linked to idolatry. So we see, first of all, their idolatry, but secondly, we see their imagination. So they begin with idolatry, they refuse, they hold the truth and unrighteousness, they glorify Him not as God, they change the incorruptible God and made Him like the corruptible man, they change the truth of God into a lie, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they knew, know the judgment of God. And so verse 21 tells us, notice, the Bible says verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but, notice, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so, because they did not like to retain this God, because they did not want to know this God, they refused to glorify Him as God, what happened as a result? Their vain imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, they became vain in their imagination, and so they become depraved in their thinking. Their foolish heart is darkened, and now they embrace behaviors that are unacceptable to God. In verse number 22, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Isn't that what people say? We are a wiser generation. And the truth is, they become fools. They've gone against biology, they've gone against genetics, they've gone against DNA, and they've made up a whole narrative that is not even real. You see, their idolatry, that's where it begins, but then we see as a result of their idolatry, their imagination run rampant. You see, God, when we recognize God for who He is, He helps us think the way we ought to think. And to where when we have imagination that run wild and rampant, God brings us back and says, no, this is what I've declared. And so we have to understand that's the condition of humanity. They're engulfed in idolatry. They've created an image of God that is not Him. And therefore, their imagination runs wild. And we see today a generation just like the generation of Genesis in the days of Noah, that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. But there's the third step. You see, there's first of all idolatry. Secondly, there's their imagination. But thirdly, then that brings about iniquity and immorality. So notice verse 24. Because they did not like to retain God, they did not want to glorify God. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We find if you go down to verse 26, the Bible says, for this cause, notice when they, verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. He says, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. So we see that's the steps that go on. They create an image of God that is not real. Their imaginations run wild. They become fools. And as a result, God gives them over unto uncleanness, unto vile affection, and says, you refuse to admit and to understand who I am? Then therefore this is what you will be left to your own devices. Verse 28 says again, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's the condition of humanity today. They're engulfed in idolatry. They refuse to admit who God is. And therefore their imagination run rampant. And that only brings about iniquity and immorality in our world. You see, first of all, there's a debased obsession with sexual behavior. Disease comes as a result of their behavior, and that's rampant today. And a depraved mind is unable to think morally. That is what happens to humanity, and it is all rooted in a twisted, false view of the God of the Bible. So we see the condemnation of God, we see the condition of humanity, but thirdly, we see the confession of sinfulness. If you go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, this is very important here, this passage. There's much, and we could go on, but notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 9, the Bible says in verse number 9, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Notice the next three words. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't tell yourself something that is not true. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the things. What can turn those people that are involved in such behavior, that promote such things, what can turn those people into believers in Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, self-deception must be dealt with. That's what he says. He says, be not deceived. Don't think God is mocked. Do not think that God is going to allow this thing to go on. And these people that have deceived themselves, that have bought a lie and says and promoted and said, we're fine. This is not something that God condemns. He says, don't deceive yourself. You see, for a person to declare that behavior such as fornication and idolatry and adultery and effeminate and abuse of themselves with mankind, that's sodomy, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, to declare such behavior as acceptable in the sight of God is nothing more than self-deception. Being involved in homosexual behavior is not a genetic defect. Just as liars and thieves are not genetically deficient. Some people say the argument today, and that's the argument today, and they deceive themselves and they deceive the whole population. And they say, well, what about those that are born that way? Don't we know and recognize that we've all born in sin? You say, well, what if they have a propensity to that? Well, guess what? I was born with a propensity to lie. But guess what? They didn't come up with a law, a bunch of laws, and says, well, he has a propensity to lie, but that's just the way he was born. So let's help him out, because that's just the way he's genetically formed. We would never say that about any sin whatsoever, but to this sin, it is promoted. And the people that say, well, what if, Pastor, you don't understand, I can't help myself. That is just like a little child who can't help himself from lying, from stealing, from doing all the other behavior that are not acceptable in the sight of God. You say they're born that way. Yes, just like everyone is born with a propensity to sin. We are all born that way, by the way. You know, my children, I never sat down with my children and say, all right, son, I'm going to teach you how to lie. This is how you do it. I never did that. He just did that automatically. I never sat with my daughters and they fight all the time, you know. I never sat down and said, all right, this is how you correctly fight with your sister. This is how you hit your... I never said that. I never said this. They just do those things. Why? Because it is in them. It is the propensity. And it would be foolish on my part and on anybody's part to say, wow, that's just the way they're wired. That's the way the genetics work. That's just the way they are. And so we have to excuse it away. No, we do not have to excuse it away. You see, we live in a society that has deceived itself into believing something that goes against what is natural and ordered of God. We have a great percentage of our population today that embraces fairy tales that go against the laws of genetics and science. You see, the deceived ones means that an individual is attempting to convince himself against the truth. That is what is called self-deception. So we see, first of all, self-deception must be dealt with. And that's what he says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? He says, be not deceived. And so self-deception must be dealt with. But number two, salvation must be dealt with. And so notice what he says. This is wonderful. He says this. He says, be not deceived, verse 9. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So the church at Corinth, he lists a bunch of behaviors that are against nature, that are against the order of God, and then he says, and that's what some of you were. That's the lifestyle that some of you were involved in. And then he says this, but ye are washed. And so we see, first of all, look, self-deception must be dealt with, but number two, salvation must be dealt with. You see, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Some of the believers of the church at Corinth had been involved in such deviant behaviors listed in these verses. Those who deceived themselves no longer needed to deceive themselves. They can come to the place of the truth and be washed from their life of sinful affections and tendencies. That can be done away with. Our God can take such a life and change that life and make a new creation. Old things can be passed away and then all things can become new. That's what he says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. He says, he puts it this way, he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words." So there is again. Don't let people deceive you. "For because these things come at the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the world, in the Lord, walk as children of light." And then he goes on to say, "proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So we see that self-deception must be dealt with. Be not deceived. Then salvation must be dealt with. You can be washed from those sins and those inordinate affections. But thirdly, I want us to consider sanctification must be dealt with. This is interesting what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are," notice what he says, "sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Isn't that wonderful? He talks here about being sanctified. You say, what does that mean? That's a big word. Sanctified means to be set apart. But, more specifically, it means to be separated from the sin or the behavior that you were previously associated with. You see, some people say, and they promote that today, well, God accepts me like I am. And that's right. He accepts you like you are. But He sure doesn't want you to stay like you are. He'll take you, the vile sinner, and I'm glad for that because I'm a vile sinner and I need Jesus Christ. And so He took me the way I am, but then He says, "I'm sanctifying you. I want you to be separated from your former life. I've set you apart for a special purpose." You see, He could have said, "You're justified." In other words, you have a clean slate. You're good to go. No, He says, "You're sanctified. Separated from the former life we have just listed." You see, the Lord does not say that your sins are forgiven only. Yes, all of our sins are forgiven in salvation. But we must also understand that we have been sanctified. We have been set apart from, separated from our former life of sin. Colossians 3:5 says this, "Therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." He says, "Therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth." The things that you used to do, put those things to death. Don't live that way anymore. And all the sin, behavior, tendencies, lifestyle that could be named today can be washed away. You can be sanctified. And you can be justified. All sins can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I joy in hearing testimony, and there you can find probably quite easily online, of people who had the worst lifestyles that you could probably conceive of, and who give a testimony of coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I just read a testimony this week. I was listening to a testimony of a young man who grew up in a pastor's home. And then he went on and lived a lifestyle in the bars and all was involved in the bars and with the sodomite crowd. Pastor's child. But then he gave a testimony about how he really had never come to know Jesus Christ as a Savior. And then later, as a grown man, he came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior and found deliverance. In Jesus Christ. He wrote a book about it. You see, just as all other sin. You see, you say, what do we do? Because, you know, it seems that our society is promoting sin. It's promoting all kinds of filth and all kinds of behavior. What do we do? I want us to end at Psalm 37, if you all turn there in Psalm 37. Just a wonderful passage that I believe would encourage your heart this evening. Psalm 37. Notice verse 1. This is the cry of the psalmist, and he says this in Psalm 37, verse 1. He says this, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So what are we to do? Trust in the Lord and do good. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." Did you get that? Oh, all the things going on around us. The Bible says, don't fret. And he kind of inserts a proverb right there and says in verse 16, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." You see, we have the truth right here in the Word of God. We don't have to fret ourselves. We don't have to worry. We can turn our eyes upon the Lord and look at a world that is out of control and spiraling down in wickedness, knowing that on our side, we have the answer to their issues. We have the answer to their sin. We know the one who can cleanse them, who can wash them, who can sanctify them, who can justify them. We know Jesus Christ. And so therefore, let's not fret ourselves. The Lord knows what is going on. And the Lord will deal accordingly, as He always has, and we see that in His Word. And so may the Lord help us to deal accordingly.